right. Match Room Radio. I'm told this is episode 44. I don't count them, but that's what I'm told. And today we're in Stratford, man. We're in London, and we're joined by a very special guest, Callum Mundo Smith, my brother. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm very good. How are you?
It's great to see you, man.
Yeah, and you?
You know, man, we've known each other for a little while now.
Yeah.
And
super series, ain't it?
Yeah, I feel like I've shared some really special moments with you.
Yeah.
I think, obviously, the pinnacle had to be Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, you announced me as world champion, so...
You know, it's so funny, like, my job, you know, I love my job. I feel like I've got the best job in the world. But that moment, to me, is really what, like, that, it's moments like that. I'll never forget it, my brother. I'll never forget it, because I have a lot of respect for you. You come from a fighting family, so you're one of four brothers, and you guys are very proud, and you guys have a fighting tradition, and I knew you wanted that so bad. Like, I know how hard you work. I've seen it. And that moment just... Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, it was special. It's, people think, oh, he's had a tough camp, or he's worked hard for the last few weeks for this. But for world champion, that was since I was a little boy. Since as long as I can remember, I've been always been around boxing, being the youngest of four brothers. So it was always from a very early age. I think if you were to go and get, you know, a group of 9-year-olds and ask them what they want to be when they grow up, man back then was a world champion boxer, and I'm one of the very, very few actually achieved the dream. A lot want to be firefighters, astronauts, but probably end up doing something different. Whereas I was one, I stuck at it, and I was, no, I count myself very lucky that I stuck to what I wanted to do, and to finally achieve it, it wasn't just, say, 8-10 weeks work, it was a lifetime's work all put into one.
Yeah, I mean, and I felt it was almost like a release, you know.
Yeah, it was a bit.
It was just dramatic, man.
Yeah, it was good. And to, you know, I entered the fight as an underdog, so I knew I had a bit of a point to prove. But it was just, I felt a bit of everything. I felt like I always believed I'd win it, but I had a lot of other people backing me from early on to be a world champion. So it was kind of a relief, like a weight off my shoulders the minute it was done, as in, I've done that now, I've finally achieved it. I've chased it for so long to finally get it. Was happiness and relief at the same time. It did feel like it was getting a bit of a weight on my shoulder. I had to do it, and I knew if I didn't take that opportunity, there was no guarantees I'd ever get another one. So there was a lot riding on. There's a lot of pressure, which I think a lot of people don't understand.
No, I mean, 100%. You got to strike while the iron's hot, and you never know. It's such an elusive thing to be a world title challenger, let alone to win it. So when you have that moment, and of course the World Boxing Super Series at the time was, you know, it was the super middleweights and it was the cruiserweights, which is great because the other winner of the Muhammad Ali Trophy is here this weekend, a guy that we know, and maybe you guys out there know, Alexander Usyk, you might have heard of him. He's challenging for the heavyweight championship of the world against AJ. Yeah. So, I mean, it was really a special tournament that year. And of course, George Groves had the fight with Chris Eubank Jr. in Manchester, and he came out on top of that. And, you know, you had the fight with Jürgen Bramer, but that got canceled, and then Nicky Holtzkin stepped in. And people that don't know Nicky Holtzkin, I mean, this guy, he's like made of steel. I mean, he's a kickboxer. I mean, this guy, you could hit him with a 2x4 in the chin, he's going to smile at you. Yeah. And it's funny because I called that fight in Germany, and it was in Nuremberg, wasn't it?
Yeah, Nuremberg, yeah.
It was in Nuremberg, where the famous trials were, obviously, but I remember that. And was that kind of, going into that fight, did you know that this guy just had a chin of steel? Did you think, like, I'm just going to have to jab and get on my bike? Or did you think I could hurt him?
Both, I think I always believe I can hurt them. And then it was kind of annoying me because people were just already kind of asking me for tickets for the final. We thought it was just a given because he was a step in, and people thought it'd be over pretty soon. And I knew after a couple of rounds he was going to be there for a while.
He's
so I kind of just stood back and boxed and didn't take any chances. I knew early on, if he takes elbows for a living, he's not going to budge off any punches. So I knew early on I made the decision, you're not going to get rid of him, and there's no point trying. So I just boxed and moved and used my brain and, say, got through injury free and put me in the final, which is where they always wanted to be.
Going back to the world title win, after you won the world title, like, what's in your mind, you know, afterwards? Did life change? Were people like, hey, champ? Or did you feel, were you walking on a cloud for a little while? And then let me ask you, was there like a letdown at the end? Like, almost, it's almost like a child star. You know, this child star, he comes out and he does all this great stuff, and then kind of the lights fade and reality sets in, right? And you still got to live your life.
Yeah, it was a bit of both. Obviously, you get more attention, you get more recognition of people in the boxing world. You're a world champion now, and everyone knows you. But I think as a fighter, we kind of were never satisfied. So the minute I'd done it, it was like,
right,
okay, what more can I do? And you think you always just want more. And the minute, you know, a week or two later, I was already planning. I wanted more. I wanted to fight the other champions. I wanted to be in the biggest fights possible. And as you're a kid, you think once you reach world champion, that's it. You've reached the pinnacle. Whereas when I actually got there, I realized, now there's more. There's always more to do. You see a Floyd Mayweather, you're never satisfied. There's always more belts to win, more fighters to fight. So I kind of just, I didn't really get a chance to sit back and enjoy it because I wanted more. I think as fighters and competitors, we're always, I think the minute you're satisfied, then you're probably done. It's time to leave it there. So yeah, I enjoyed it for a week or two, and then it was planning the next move.
You know, I don't think it's just as a fighter. I think it's in life. You always have to be striving for something. I think it's important, and I think there's a very famous saying that everyone knows, you know, it's not about the destination, it's about the journey. But I really think that's true, right? For me, I look at it like a ladder that we're all climbing, but it's a circular ladder. Yeah. You're not getting any higher. No. I know you think you do out there, but you got to enjoy the journey. You really have to enjoy the journey because, yes, it's great to hit goals, but you always want to set new. And I think that's really important. And I also think, you know, metaphorically, you know, fighters get knocked down, they get back up, but in life also. Now, you had a fight after this great win with John Ryder, and that must have been really tough for you. I was there, and you know, everyone saw that fight. John Ryder won that fight, this, that, and the third, and it's in your hometown. So you must have gotten a lot of flack from that. Was that tough for you? How did you deal with that? And I'm not saying that you won or you didn't win. That's not for me to decide. You saw the fight back, yeah. I'm sure. John's seen the fight and everyone else seen the fight. So they can make, I've heard both. Oh, no, Callum won. Yeah. Oh, John won. Either way, how did you react to that? How do you feel? Because let me just, before you answer, I don't think it's fair to you or to any fighter. Like, you fought the fight, okay? You're not a judge.
Yeah.
So you didn't score it. You fought the fight and you got in there, and people have to take their hat off to any fighter that will do that. So, but how did it feel?
It was first and foremost, regardless of what anyone else thinks, I'm my own biggest critic. So I wasn't happy with my own performance after it. But in terms of scoring the fight, I felt I won it. I watched it back. I felt I won it. So any criticism regarding a decision didn't really bother me because I knew what I think, and people whose opinion I respect had me winning the fight.
I love that.
Yeah, so that didn't really bother me. It was more kicking myself in my own performance and why I underperformed and what I did wrong. And that was on me. It was a fight that I probably should have come through comfortable and then moved on to bigger and better fights. And it didn't. And it kind of held me back a little bit. But in terms of the criticism, I think in boxing, you can't take criticism too easily. You've got to just brush it off and carry on forward. You've got to have thick skin in boxing. Otherwise, don't really get far. You're never going to please everyone. There's always going to be critics, and you've got to learn to just what you believe yourself. I believe in my own ability. I think if I was to enter a fight and everyone was to say I was going to lose, but I believe I'd win, then that's good with me. Whereas everyone can pick me to win a fight, but if deep down I don't believe I'll win, then I probably won't. I think your own thoughts and your own feelings are more important than anyone else's.
I agree. I also, I'm curious about the Canelo fight. I want to ask you about that before we move on to some other questions. But, you know, I was there. I got to announce, you know, in the ring with you guys, which was a great honor. You know, I just feel, what was your game plan going into this fight?
Game plan was, I thought it'd be pretty cagey early on. It was to not make any mistakes early on, not let him capitalise on anything, because I remember my brother fought him, he said from the first second he was trying to counter everything he was throwing, so it was kind of just, don't make any mistakes early on, let the fight get in and then start letting my own shots go, and it just didn't really pay off. He's a very good fighter, I've got no excuses, the better man of the night won, and he beat me well. I think we could have seen a better version of myself in my performance and physically, but regardless of any of that, he's a top fighter, and say he beat me, he was the better man on the night.
Listen, most everyone has him as pound for pound number one. If not, they've got him in the top three. But so, yes, formidable opponent, no doubt. But, you know, again, how tall are you?
Yeah, just over 68.
At 168, you're a freak. Yeah. It's an amazing thing. Yeah. You know, that long reach. And I just think, you know, fight tall. Don't give up your height. You know, was that the plan?
Yeah, definitely. You know, he's only short. It'd be a fool to go in and stand and fight his type of fight. So, first and foremost, you've always got to stick to your strengths. Sometimes, someone will make you fight, and you've got to be able to fight when you need to, but you've always got to fight to my strengths. And of course it was to keep the fight long and make him have to work hard to get inside, but it's just, let's say he's good and I wasn't at my best, I wasn't as explosive, and my own shots to keep him off kind of thing, and he was able to capitalise on. And I think once he gets in that rhythm, it kind of takes away what you're good at and you kind of fight in his fight.
Sure. Was it, do you think, just an off night? Do you think it was just that he's better? Do you think that it was the size of the magnitude of the event or the game plan? Was it any of that?
No, I think a bit of everything. The magnitude, I've fought in big fights, I've fought on big stages. That never really fazed me. I think I'm too laid back for any of that. I think it was just a bit of everything. He was too good on the night. My performance wasn't the best. He performed pretty well. I thought we've seen kind of a good version of him. And I just think tactically he got it right. And he's not really shocked me, as in I knew how good he was. I knew his power didn't shock me, he can punch, but it didn't surprise me. It was defensively, he was so hard to a clean, which I didn't expect. You see all the videos on Instagram of him slipping and sliding, but you always think, I'd land, I'd catch you kind of thing. But he was so hard to a clean, which kind of takes away your offense then, because it makes you hesitant to throw because you don't know whether it's actually going to land. So that was the biggest surprise for me. And I think that, for me, is his best asset.
Because you've changed trainers now. You were with Joey Gallagher for a long time, and now you're with Buddy McGirt, International Boxing Hall of Famer, good buddy of mine. Had breakfast with him this morning, so we did talk a little bit about you. not much, though, to be honest, not much. We caught up on a lot of the stuff. Yeah. We talked about you for a short bit, but did any of it have to do with that fight?
No, I'll say I'm not one of these fighters who lose and look to blame other people and all fighter training and stuff like that. I took full responsibility for that fight. It's been coming for a while, to be honest with you. It wasn't the one main thing. It was a lot of little things what happened over the last few years that I felt were just, the relationship wasn't what it was a few years ago when we first joined together. And I just felt he had to make a change, and it kind of just all come at the right time. I lost, move up in weight. I had a break from the sport and like a clean break, and now I've got a new challenge, new trainer, new weight division, new goals, and it just felt like the right time to do it. But no, it's nothing to do with the loss. Even if I'd have won my last fight, I think I'd have moved trainer.
I know that Buddy's got you out, and you guys are splitting time. So you got him out in Liverpool. which is great. Buddy out in Liverpool. But I know he's got you out in Los Angeles. Yeah. How are you finding it, man? What do you think of LA?
Yeah, it was good. I love LA. I've been a few times before. I've always said I love the place, and it was good to get over there, and just, it was good to take myself away out of my comfort zone. I've always had my home comforts. I've always trained alongside my brothers and familiar faces in a gym. And to take myself over there and go in a gym where I didn't know anyone at the start. So it was kind of, not intimidating, but it was out of my comfort zone. But it was something I felt I needed to do. And they were great, the people in the gym. They looked after me. They really made me feel at home. And getting to work with Buddy every day was enjoyable. I felt like I was learning. And I felt like I was having to impress him and make him think that I was a good fighter, which you kind of lose over the years when you're at the same training. He knows me better than anyone, and if I underperform, I know he still knows how good I am. Whereas with Buddy, I knew he didn't know how good I was, really. He hasn't seen all the rest of my career. He's probably seen me fight a couple of times. So I always felt I was having to impress each day in the gym, and it's making me want to go back and work on something he's told me. And getting a little compliment out of him was giving me a little bit of a buzz and making me want to go back the next day and get more. So it was enjoyable, and I'll definitely feel I did improve in the weeks that I was over there.
Sid, you guys have been working on some footwork stuff, yeah?
Yeah, a lot of just... It's a lot of basic stuff which you probably wouldn't see from the outside, but it's minor little positions of your feet where you are when you throw certain shots, and keeping your distance, which is the distance between inches kind of thing, and just knowing when to throw certain shots. And even when I'm shadow boxing, I throw a shot and he'll stop me and say, why did you throw that? Or if you're going to throw that, why don't you do it this way kind of thing? And it was just tidying up minor little things. And I say, I feel I have got it as the weeks are going on. I believe... he's happy. I say I started getting compliments rather than correcting me all the time, and I feel we're in a good place, and hopefully we'll see some of them improvements this weekend.
You know, there's so many great fights coming up, and I'm really looking forward to your fight against Lenin Castillo. He's a formidable opponent also. Your brother obviously is in a huge derby coming up in a couple of weeks with Anthony Fowler, and you yourself were in a big derby. Was that 2015?
I think so, yeah.
It's 2015 with Rocky Fielding.
Yeah.
So tell us about that. I mean, tell us about not the Rocky Fielding fight per se, but what was it like to have a derby? And what's Liam? I mean, I know you can't speak for Liam, but, you know, actually, before they ask, how close are you to your brothers?
Very, very close, I think.
Do you guys just speak every day?
Yeah, we speak every day. We either see each other in the gym, or we meet for food or a coffee. No, I see at least one or two of them every single day, and we speak. We've got a group chat. We talk all the time.
So you guys do have a group chat. Yeah, I was like, these guys have to have a group chat.
We are very close, to be fair. And I wouldn't say no. Two are closer than the other two. We're all kind of pretty similar. As we've got older, the age gap isn't as big, and no, we are close, and we do everything together.
And your nickname Mundo, that's from a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, right?
Yeah, I used to love the turtles. Yeah. Donatello, Leonardo. So my dad used to call me Calamundo, and then
is he the one that came up with
yeah,
it?
Yeah, and then it just Mundo seemed to stick, and I later learned as I got older it means world in Spanish and stuff like that. But
sure.
Yeah,
and you became a world champion.
Yeah, so
Campeón del Mundo. Yeah. Maybe we should change it to Campeón del Mundo.
Definitely.
So your pops, he's, if people don't know your pops, he, first of all, he's a great guy. He's jacked. Yeah. He's a former bodybuilder, yeah?
Yeah, he'd done bodybuilding when I was younger. I think it was in the 90s. But he's always been a fan of just keeping fit. He goes to the gym every day, and he eats well all the time. He's clued up on that side of things. But yeah, he just likes to get him out the house, I think. And
who got the Smith brothers into boxing? How did this sickness start? And I'll say it's a sickness, because anyone involved in boxing on this level, we're sick in the head.
We lived basically on like a council estate over the road from the Rotunda Boxing Club, and
okay,
dad was always a big boxing fan. There was always boxing on in the house, and old videotapes and stuff, and I think Paul just went over with his friends and stuck at it, and then Stephen, being a typical younger brother,
follows his older brother everywhere he went, and so on.
It's just a knock-on effect, and me and Liam used to get brought by my dad to watch Paul and Stephen in like the championships and stuff, and then I think once you're around boxing, you kind of get you get the buzz, and then that's it.
So what's it, because you talked about the Rotunda, you guys are back there now when you're in Liverpool, and how is that? It's like a homecoming, right? Full circle. I mean
it is exactly, it feels like home, even though when I'm not in camp, I always go in the gym and see people. There's a lot of familiar faces in there. There's people who train over daytime, keep fitters, and obviously the amateurs in the night, and I've always stayed close. I've always visited there as much as I can, so to get to train there every day now, say alongside the familiar faces who I've knew most of my life, is good. It kind of gives me that home comfort to what I didn't have over
there
in LA.
Sure, there's a lot to that. I'll tell you, going from 168 to 175, different landscape.
Yeah.
Man, it's a different landscape. What are you seeing on the horizon there? I'm seeing a sunset, by the way. Just take a peek. Look at that. Cameras, they got to get that. Luke, where are you at? Get that sunset, man. That is beautiful. Can you get that sunset for the people? That is beautiful. Scott, you see it?
Just in the distance, David. That is exactly where the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium is.
Yeah.
So Saturday night's venue is just by the sun.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah, beautiful. So what do you see on the horizon, though, for 175?
Yeah, it's a good division. It's a very good division. There's a lot of top fighters. Obviously, the three champions are very good fighters, but I think what's good about the division is there's a lot of fighters who are probably good enough to be a world champion just outside the titles, waiting for their shot kind of thing. Whereas I think some divisions you'll have good champions, but there's not really much depth in the division for people to defend against. But it's a good division, but a division I definitely believe I'm good enough to enter and become a world champion in. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing it. But it's exciting. I've got to come through this weekend. I believe I've got a good test on Saturday, and then come through that, and we'll know a little bit more. But I'm aiming for the three belt holders, and I believe I can beat them.
You look like you've put on some muscle. You look, first of all, is it better? Like, you can eat a little bit more?
Yeah, it's better, especially, the camp was similar. Obviously, I've got a very good strength and conditioning coach, a very good nutritionist. And
what do you eat? What's a typical, what do you like to eat?
Just anything, to be honest with you. Yeah, fight week, I kind of get told what to eat. I've got to say, Scott, my nutritionist, deal, bring me whatever I need. And it's all just depending on what you weigh that day kind of thing. But it's good. And I've always done everything correct. Say I brought on a good nutritionist, I've done everything properly. He obviously knows more than me about that side of it. But I just felt the last few at 168, it was more taking a little bit out of me from weighing to fight night kind of thing. That was where I wasn't really getting everything back in me. So 175, I believe. It's somewhere I always knew I'd end up. I just didn't know when.
Yeah.
I think people probably thought I'd end up there sooner than I did. And I kept making 168, and for a long time I was performing very well at it. So I always said the minute it started to affect my performance would be the time when I'd move up. And I've done that, and I feel good. I feel very good. I feel strong. I've had a good camp. Sparring's been very good. So it hopefully I'll show it on the weekend. I can sit and say as much as I want, but performances tell, and hopefully I'm here to put in a good one.
It's great, but I will say that your defense too. You slipped that question. Because I asked you, what do you like to eat?
Outside the camp, I eat anything.
If I'm taking you out to dinner for your favorite meal, it's your birthday. Come on, Callum, let's go. What do you want?
It's hard.
What's your favorite meal?
Good steak's good. I like a roast dinner. I like Chinese, Thai food. I like my food, to be fair. That's one of the main things I like.
So when
I'm out to camp, I go out for nice restaurants, eat good food.
Seafood. You eat it.
Yeah, that's the one.
You're on a seafood diet.
Big drinker or anything. So
you like to eat.
Enjoy time is going out for nice food.
So do the Smith brothers and the Smith family do Sunday roasts?
Yeah, my mum does one every now and again.
That's great.
So it's good, and it's mayhem. And sometimes it's that many of us, only a certain few get an invite, so you've got to get in quick. So you say,
yeah.
I'm doing a roast this weekend.
Absolutely.
There's only so many places.
Absolutely. The lucky ones to sit at the Smith table, that would be lucky. And speaking of Liverpool, I mean, first of all, you know, I can't wait to be there in a couple of weeks. It's everyone knows I've made it very – I love that city.
Yeah,
I really do. It's a very special place, and it's great fight fans. And it's going to be an electric night seeing your brother go against Anthony Fowler, and I think it's a hell of a fight. I really like it. For you, it's got to be a dream to one day fight at Anfield. Is that?
Yeah, that's always been a dream. It's always been the goal. I always knew it needed the right fight, a world title, the right opponent to do it,
sure,
kind of thing. Because if I was to do it, I'd want to do it properly. I wouldn't want half the stadium cut off. And
of course.
It's one of them, but it's still a goal. Even losing my world title, I believe I can get another one. And if I get another one and there's the right opponent, then it definitely is an option. But we can all work towards something. At the minute, I'm not going to do it, but if I can get a world title, then it's definitely an option that's back open. It was close to being done when I was champion at 168. We had meetings with them. They were up for it. It just needed the right fight, and it's all about time, and it can only really happen once the season's finished, but it's definitely something that I will keep going for.
Godspeed, brother. I can't wait to see what happens in the future, and I've loved watching you on your career path. I love watching your fights, and I love your whole family, and I'm really looking forward to seeing your fight on Saturday against Castillo. Before we let you go, will you answer a couple fan questions?
Yeah, of course.
All right, let's see. We've got some fan questions here. What do we have here? P_Reed_the_Red. Wow, that's quite a handle. Asks Callum, what prospect or prospects should we be keeping an eye on from Liverpool coming through?
From Liverpool, there's a few coming through. One's obviously making his debut on Liam, Peter McGrail. Obviously, he went to the Olympics. He's a good talent. He's definitely one to watch out for. There's Thomas Whittaker Hart, who's boxed on a few matchroom shows. He's a good fighter.
Another tall lad, too.
Yeah, I've done a lot of sparring with him since he was a little kid. He's a good fighter. But yeah, I think they're the two to look out for coming through from the city.
Okay, let's see here. At Hunted Eyes Only asks Callum, what's the worst injury you've ever had in your career? Wow, I mean, I'll tell you, that bicep did not look good.
I saw it on the night, man.
It
ends up being a tear in my deltoid muscle in a Canelo fight. That was bad, but I think early on in my career, I had a tendon damage, which I had to have an operation on in my hand, so probably one of them too. And other than that, I've been quite lucky, touch wood. I haven't had many. I think my first cut was probably the Rada fight, I think, so it took me 27 fights to get a cut, so I was quite lucky, but the arm was probably the worst one.
Speaking of fights, I got to ask this, because obviously you're close to your brothers. Was there ever any scraps going on in the house?
Yeah,
there kind of had to be.
But not serious. We never really fall out. I don't think my mum lets us the minute we have a bad way. My mum sorted out kind of thing. But there's a lot of boxing, sparring in the house.
I'm sure.
A lot, yeah. So.
But like, what about like you guys are out playing football and someone does something and the parents aren't there to stop it? That ever happen?
No. Okay. If two argue, the other two say, behave yourselves.
Okay,
kind of thing.
So good.
We get a bit of banter goes, but not in any theater.
Good. All right, and final question. Julian Jones asked Callum, you boxed in America early in your career on the Brook versus Porter undercard. Looking back, did that experience help you with some of your overseas fights later on?
Yeah, definitely. I think when you're boxing in different places, it kind of just gets you used to getting over there a bit early, getting used to different surroundings, staying in a hotel. A lot of fighters stay in their own comforts, and then all of a sudden you've got to go and fight an American, and it kind of out of the comfort zone. So it got me used to that, traveling to fight. It is different, and fighting under different commissions, the rules are different, the fight week's different, and like even in like the changing rooms, the rules are different. So it did get me used to fighting on the US shows for when I went out and fought at Madison Square Garden. I'd been in the US before. I kind of knew what to expect, even though I was only on an undercard fight for the first time round. But I've been quite lucky. I've boxed all over the UK and I've boxed Germany, Saudi, America a few times. So I said, I've been lucky and I enjoy fighting. A lot of people are hell bent on getting home advantage and fighting in the home city, where I've always enjoyed fighting in different stadiums in different parts of the country and all over the world.
It's great, man. It's great. Well, we're going to be Saturday at Tottenham.
Yeah.
It's going to be amazing. Be quite a lot of people there, a lot of fight fans.
Another good venue to tick off.
It's just amazing. And Callum Smith is fighting Lenine Castillo. And we wish you the very best of luck on Saturday. And we'll see you then. So for Matchroom Radio, this is David Diamante signing off. And we'll catch you guys tomorrow night.